is Jim Browdy. I am Marjorie Egan. You're listening to hour number two of Boston Public Radio, 89.7 WGBH. Hello, Jim.
Hello there, Marjorie. And joining us in Studio 3, as he will starting today every month, is Police Commissioner William Evans. He's good enough to take our questions and yours at 877-301-8970 for the next half hour. Commissioner Evans, it's great to see you again.
Well, thanks for having me again, Jim.
You know, before we start, we had a great little exchange before. He looks out the window, says the weather is crappy, and I say, boy, that's too bad. What's your reaction?
That's good for us.
Why is that?
Well, you know, when the weather's good, everybody's out, and with that, it's a lot of increase in activity. And unfortunately, I think the warmer it is, the higher the crime rate is. So I've become a foul weather fiend, believe it or not.
That's great.
Yeah, blizzards and 10 below is a good thing for the peace and quiet in the city. You know, before we get back to it has been some relative peace and quiet in the city, which is a great thing. I'm dying to get your take on this whole mess out in Ferguson, Missouri, where this young man, Michael Brown, was killed by a police officer. What was your take on that department out there?
Well, you know, unfortunately, when an incident like that happens anywhere in the United States, we all wear it because everybody thinks, you know, all police departments are like that. And, you know, it was an unfortunate incident. I don't want a Monday morning quarterback on it, but the way it was painted and, you know, the militarization of the police, I think we all got painted with the wrong brush. And, you know, the first thing I did was actually call in a lot of our clergy and a lot of our community leaders within the next week and say, hey, that's not what we're all about here. And, you know, we have great diversity in our department. We have, you know, probably the most diverse command stats that we've ever had. So I don't like to compare us to Ferguson. But, you know, seeing those pictures at night and, you know, they were alarming both on the police side as well as the public side. And hopefully nothing like that ever comes here.
You know, it's interesting you say, though, if I can, Marjorie, just for a second, when you say it puts a taint on all police, that's in essence what the president was saying when he spoke to the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation on Saturday. He said he's troubled by the divide between law enforcement in general and the people. Just listen to his words.
And that has a corrosive effect, not just on the black community. It has a corrosive effect on America. It harms the communities that need law enforcement the most. It makes folks who are victimized by crime and need strong policing reluctant to go to the police because they may not trust them.
And is that one of the reasons you called on the ministers? Because essentially there is a trickle-down notion. When people turn on their television and see such horrible relations between the citizenry and the cops in Ferguson, do you worry that that trickles down onto you even if it's undeserving?
I do, yeah, because there's some people out there, no matter what we do, Jim, are going to hop on our case, you know, and they all come out of the woodwork when something like that happens, and they say, see, we told you, but we work very hard in our community. I think we have great relationship with the minority community, with all communities of the city, and, you know, I don't want that set us back to where I think we were 10, 20, 30 years ago, because we've worked hard to establish some great relationships. And unfortunately, an incident like that can have a setback for a lot of us in the policing field.
Our number is 877-301-8970. If you have any questions for the commissioner, 877-301-8970. Our email is bpr@wgbh.org. I just want to – it is fairly unusual, I would assume, Commissioner Evans, for police officers to be covering up their names and wearing bracelets as they were in Ferguson in solidarity with the officer who shot this young man. That's – I can't imagine that happening in Boston.
No, I think you're correct. I mean, unfortunately, you know, we all believe that an officer is innocent to proven guilty. But, you know, we have a clear policy that – you know, if anyone asks for our identity or our badge number, we clearly give it to them. You know, we like to be transparent. And, you know, I had a meeting this week with the ACLU, and I assured them this is not Ferguson here. You know, we have a very early intervention system where we red flag officers who might have problems. You know, we got a very aggressive internal affairs unit that if someone makes any type of complaint, no matter how trivial it is, we investigate it. And I assured them, we're not into long rifles out there. We're not into tasers out there. We want to be a true community policing organization, and we practice what we preach, and that's all in our style.
You know, Commissioner Evans, you said a minute ago, I think you're pretty proud, and Marty Walsh, the new mayor, has been pretty proud, too, of the diversification of the command staff within the police department. But the Boston Police Department was also sued recently over these civil service exams.
Right.
And while ultimately the judge ruled in favor of your side, the judge did say that the tests had a, quote, significant adverse impact on blacks and Hispanics. But he, the judge goes on to say, but since there was no adequate alternative presented in terms of what the exam should look like, he was going to rule for the city. Does that not concern you despite the verdict? I mean, but you know Larry Ellison, obviously. I've interviewed him, Boston Detective, president of the Mass Association of Minority Law Enforcement Officers. The majority of the test questions, he says, have nothing to do with the day-to-day operations of a supervisor. How do you react to that?
Well, I don't agree with that. I mean, there's at least at the, especially at the sergeant's level, Jim, if you come on the job, you better know what it takes to get a search warrant. You better know if you have enough probable cause. You know, there's a lot of case law out there. There's a lot of constitutional law. There's criminal law. And we need our supervisors to be well-versed in that. So, you know, when you get to the higher ranks, I can agree that it's more management and leadership style. But there's certain requirements that if a young officer on the job wants guidance, you better know and you better be well-versed and well-studied on basic principles that all supervisors should have. That being said, I'm all for diversifying the department, but we have a civil service exam system now that to get into those ranks, there's no other way. The city just spent $2 million, and we're going through that process now, to get away from the 80% book test and 20% training experience to do an oral and a written component with the hope that will bring more diversity to our candidates. But you know, to say that, you know, a test doesn't have qualifications that are necessary for the job, that's ridiculous. You know, this is a very technical job where we're being sued all the time. You got to understand all the laws out there, and that's what we test for.
Can we go from something very serious to something that maybe is not quite as serious? I know you're a big believer in community policing. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways I just read in the Dorchester Reporter, I think it was last night, that you're reinvigorating, is it bike patrols? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Does the average, to me, I hope you'll take this in the right way, when I see a cop in Cambridge where I live riding around the city on a bicycle, I feel bad for the cop. I mean, I really do. It's sort of like, you know, one thing to be on a horse, one thing to be on a patrol, in a patrol car. You don't like this, I can tell already. One thing to be walking around. But isn't it weird to be a police officer and have to mount a bike and ride around town?
No, honestly, I mean, where else do you get paid for 8 hours to go out and get exercise?
That's right.
By the way, he's a big jock, we should say. A marathoner. We're talking to Commissioner Evans
here. So, but you know what? You know, the beauty of that is it's sort of an extension of the walking beat. Those officers are out there. They can ride into the parks where motor vehicles can't drive in. They can ride through the developments where motor vehicles can't go. So it gives us so much more mobility. It lets us do a lot of more outreach into the neighborhoods. And honestly, we used the bike patrols very effectively some as they went from park to trouble spots all around the city. And so bikes, I know, you know, they could be silly in Cambridge, but they're useful.
Not in Boston.
They're very useful.
Did you ever ride a bike as part of? You did?
Yeah. Well, not as part of policing.
Oh, that's what I meant. Okay.
I think they're not macho enough. Is that your problem?
Well,
Jim?
I mean,
not macho?
I don't know what they are.
Yeah, that's what you meant.
I don't think I like the spandex. I'm not a spandex type of guy.
No, especially when it's fluorescent, the bright orange, the bright pinks. Let's take some calls. Our number is 877-301-8970. We have the Boston Police Commissioner Bill Evans with us. Kathy's on the line from Boston, talking about community relations. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hey, this call is for the commission. I was wondering, are there programs in place or that's going to be implemented in the future that will help the relationships with minority communities and the trust between minorities and police officers in Boston?
Thanks, Kathy.
Well, we work very hard, Kathy, on building those relationships. One of the first things I did when I came on board was beef up our school police. So we're putting the officers into the schools at younger ages. So, you know, the younger kids, first, second, third grade, get to know the police officers and get to trust them. That's one of the first things I do. But, you know, we do a lot of great programs out there. We have a junior police academy where we bring kids from all around the city. We have the teen police academy this summer, which was great. You know, we do quite a lot of outreach to break down the barriers. We do youth police dialogues where we engage in conversations with the youth around issues such as stop and frisk and, you know, are the officers up in the kids' faces? So we try to do quite a bit. We work with homicide victims, their families, and so we're continually trying to build the trust so the community is working together. So if we have a bad incident out there, the neighborhood people won't be afraid to come forward and rely on the Boston Police Department.
Kathy, thanks for the call.
If people want to find out about these kind of programs, where do they go, to bostonpolice.com, or how do they find them?
Yeah, I mean, the best way to go is call your local police station, and we have community service officers who put on a lot of great programs for the youth in the neighborhood. And, you know, just this week, you know, I went to a graduation, which Mayor Walsh was very instrumental, and we pulled probably the 16 of the most troubled kids in the city who had long, violent past, firearm convictions just out of jail, and he put them in an apprentice program, the building trades program, where we spoke to them first day, wished them well, and for 3 weeks they underwent training at the Sheet Metal Workers Union, where they all got trained up for 3 weeks, and when they leave there, they're all guaranteed spots in the building trade. And
well, that's
great. Phenomenal.
But how did tell us what it's like? By the way, the reports are earlier this month: summer crime fell in the city, shootings down 12%. I'm assuming that kind of thing is part of the reason. How do you get who talks to that kid to say to that kid, the path you're going just ain't working? This is a tremendous opportunity. You'll get a job. How does that happen? How do you get them from there to here?
Well, believe it or not, we have our gang officers have some great dialogue with the gang kids out there. As much as the trouble they get involved, we know who they are. And so we're able to identify them. And people like Gerard Bailey, who heads up the gang unit, and Dan Mulhern, who the mayor brought on board from the DEA's office, they've had a lot of interaction with these kids, and we identify them. And they did some outreach to them. And we were able to bring them into the Sheet Meadows Hall over in Dorchester for 3 weeks.
But that can't be easy, Commissioner. It's hard for me to believe, as skillful as these people are, and I'm sure they are, that you just sit down and talk to a kid who, for years of his life, has basically been breaking the law and doing horrible stuff, and all of a sudden a light goes off. I mean, that can't be easy, is it?
No, it's not easy. But, you know, one individual went up, and I went to the graduation after talking at the opening, and he talked about how, as a kid, he was in DYS. He was bounced around in a foster home. And so, you know, I'm a kid from South Boston, Jim, who parents died young, but a local priest stepped in and got me a good education. All these kids were never given as an opportunity. And I think this is an opportunity for a good job, for a whole different lifestyle. And it was neat to go to the graduation
and see
their families, see that they have young kids, and see the promise that hopefully these kids will do well in their career. And I think that's what we have to do. We can take a million guns off the street, and only a million guns are going to replace them. But unless we give kids opportunities out there, it's not going to solve the problem.
You know, Commissioner Evans, one of the things you always hear, and I used to hear it too when I was doing these stories, is that kids can't get out of gangs because of they're afraid that the other gang members will gun them down, frankly.
Right.
I mean, how do you overcome that part?
Well, again, it's going out there and speaking to them like our officers do, giving them alternatives like we did with this job program, and trying to build their trust so they feel safe in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, I look at, Hernandez there from the Patriots, right? He's making all the money in the world, but he couldn't break the allure of being in a gang and hanging with them kids. So it's sort of a lifestyle. It's something that I gave a talk this morning. We talked about guns, and we got to get to these kids earlier. So there's a cultural change that it's not cool to carry guns. It's not cool to be in a gang. And honestly, give them education, give them job opportunities, and just change that whole mentality that draws them towards the gang.
What do you say? What's the first sentence out of your mouth? Then we'll get back to the calls, Commissioner. To have a kid like that listen to you. You're the police commissioner. You're the enemy in many ways to some. How do you convince them that you're not? What do you say to a kid?
Well, honestly, what I say is, you know, I grew up in South Boston. You know, I didn't have a whole lot, Jim. You know, I grew up on a second floor of a three-decker. I slept in the same bed with two of my brothers. My parents and I lost a brother, but I said, I didn't have a whole lot. I'm a city kid, but given the right opportunity, I was, someone came in and got me into a great school, St. Sebastian's, and it made all the difference in my life. And I said, even though you might feel down and out here, you know, there's opportunities out there. And, you know, I wasn't given everything in my life.
I'm not that different from you is
exactly.
The basic message.
And that's what these kids have, nothing. A lot of them have nothing in the neighborhood. And all they need is someone to step into their life and give them an opportunity, and they can make the best. And I like to think I'm a fine example of that.
Will in the car, you're on with the commissioner of Boston Police, William Evans. Hey there, Will.
Hey.
Hi.
Morning, Commissioner.
Morning.
I was wondering, why does the Boston Police not recognize a U.S. passport as proof of U.S. citizenship?
Well, you know, we've clarified that. We do. You know, that was a misunderstanding at the front desk. I didn't learn of that, believe it or not, until I seen it on Hub, I think, universe.hub. So,
Universal Hub.
Well, Universal Hub.
Yes.
I read that there before I even knew anything about what happened there. So that's a misunderstanding that I've cleared up with our legal department. So we will honor U.S. passports. I don't know what happened there. I think it was a misunderstanding at the front desk there on the first floor headquarters. But, you know, I was sort of blindsided by that, to tell you the truth.
Well, in the context I'm talking, I'm not sure exactly what, you know, I didn't read the same thing you did, but the context I'm thinking of, on the Boston Police website, it says if you want to apply for a gun license in Boston, a U.S. passport is not sufficient, and you need I'm not even sure what their requirements are, but it's specific that a U.S. passport is not. Is that policy going to be changed shortly? Or
yeah, it is going to be changed. That's something that was brought to our attention on this particular issue. So, you know, there's nothing greater probably as proving your citizenship in than the U.S. passport. So I apologize for that, but
okay.
That's being worked on.
Problem solved. Thank you, Will, for
glad
your call.
We're listening to Boston Police Commissioner Bill Evans. That's his voice you can hear right now. I guess you could say he has a little bit of a Boston accent. Maybe when they come to the
Ted.
Next movie, they could have you as a consultant. Anyway, he's taking our questions and yours at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. Quick break, and then we're back with Commissioner Evans. Stay tuned to 89.7 WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. Jim Browdy and Marjorie. And if you're just joining us, Boston Police Commissioner William Evans is with us. He'll be with us every single month. This is the first of those visits. You can talk to him directly at 877-301-8970. Before we go back to the calls, Commissioner, Marjorie and I were having a little bit of a debate that I believe you may have heard on the radio driving in about this new standard out of California signed by Jerry Brown. Yes means yes, replacing no means no in terms of sexual relationships and that sort of thing. What do you think of the new standard?
Well, you know, having a daughter 24 years old, I like the new standard. Anything, you know, obviously to protect young ladies. And Jim, I got to tell you, I read a lot of police reports every day. It's probably one of the first things I do when I go in. And, you know, I see a lot of it throughout the city. A lot of these young girls leave these clubs and leave where, you know, unfortunately they wake up and they don't even know what happened to them, you know, whether it's overconsumption or alcohol. And, you know, I think it's a lot more prevalent than even I read about. I think, you know, I was listening to your show about colleges, and I honestly don't think we get a true picture because I agree with you. You know, I've always been involved with the colleges. I've always been fighting the good fight to say, you know, you got to let the Boston police to know, because I think it's all in their self-interest to push down the crime. Because if I'm a mom or dad looking at a college and, you know, looking to see if my young girl or son's going to go there, I don't want to read what probably the true story is for some of these campuses, believe it or not. So, you know, a lot of them have their own police department. They control what gets to us and what doesn't, and obviously that troubles me.
We're talking with Boston Police Commissioner Bill Evans. Before we get back to the phone calls, and by the way, the number is 877-301-8970. Boston is one of the three cities the Justice Department is going to launch this pilot program aimed at keeping United States residents from joining these violent extremist groups and going overseas or coming back from overseas and hatching plots here. I mean, obviously, with all the unrest in Syria and this ISIS and these terrible, gruesome crimes, people are getting very nervous about this. So what does this mean? What will you be doing in Boston?
Well, you know, we had talks probably 3 months ago before, you know, the whole ISIS, crisis started to really bloom here. And we dealt with Carmen Ortiz, the U.S. attorney, when she chose Boston as one of the sites. And I think it isn't that we're a pipeline here. I think we were chosen because we have a pre-established already relationship with the Somali community here, with the Islamic community, and I think we have a great history of being very good at what we do, and that's community policing. So I think we were chosen because we have relationships already, and I think we're able to build on that. You know, I've had the opportunity to go over the mosque and talk to a lot of the members after a prayer service over there, and just yesterday I was over there meeting with them again. We have mutual concerns, you know. They talk about, they're concerned about, obviously, coming under closer supervision, and I'm concerned about just, you know, them being on alert for someone who maybe looks like an extremist. And, you know, right now, you know, we seem to have a great relationship, and I think that's the whole idea of this pilot program, just to strengthen those relationships. But I think it's our history and how well we build relationships on why we're chosen.
How do you stay sensitive? And obviously you wouldn't have that meeting if you're not concerned, but how do you stay sensitive to the civil liberties concerns that ideas are not crimes? Ideas are protected.
Right.
So how do you not cross that line part of this?
And that's a discussion we had, Jim. You know, obviously people have a right to speak out against the United States, but all we ask them is when it gets up to that level where it gets dangerous jargon or dangerous behavior, that they do more than just tolerate it. They reach out to us. And,
understood.
And they made that clear to us. You know, the executive director yesterday was sort of saying, you know, they have 1,400 members in that mosque and they don't have a membership. So people who might not even be a member can come in prayer. And so they're not necessarily in control of everybody who comes in and out of their places. But, you know, we're working together that if we get a really extreme case of someone acting irrational, we hope they would reach out to us.
Let's go to Jay, who's calling. I'm in the wrong place, aren't I?
No, you're okay.
No, I'm in the right place. Jay from North Andover. Sorry about that, Jay.
You're on with Commissioner Evans. Hey, Jay.
Love your show. It's your top.
Thank you.
What I wanted to address today is that there was a group of Boston ministers who met with drug dealers, and they said, you're missing the boat here because we are a father to a lot of these young men who then peddle our drugs. We give them a bed to sleep on if they need a place, or they sleep on the floor, and we respond to a lot of their needs. The other thing I wanted to mention was that I do a fundraising bike ride with the Team Trinity Episcopal Church, and they now have an outreach program where every one of the youth who have gone through that program have gone on to college, and they're the first in their family ever to do so. Now, there were a few youth who did not finish the program because they got murdered in Dorchester. So I'm really appreciating the need that you are addressing and appreciate hearing what you had to say on the show about how you're going about making yourself and other people build the relationships.
Jay, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to JP, Jamaica Plain, where Tom is on with Commissioner Evans. Hey there, Tom.
Good morning, Commissioner. How are you?
Morning, Tom.
I'd like to know if there's any plan in place to enhance the community policing in the four W's. That's Waldron, Westminster, Walnut Park, Wardman Road, where the young man Adrian was gunned down about 3 weeks ago. Yeah. I know that Officer Carlos Martinez is an excellent officer down in the square, and he only occasionally gets up to Wardman and Westminster, but I think we really need more men like Carlos that do an excellent job if we can get them in the right spot.
Thank you, Tom.
I agree, Tom. You know, I was at a community meeting the other night at the YMCA on Washington Street, and I heard those concerns about people being obviously concerned about the recent shooting up in Wardman. But, you know, the good thing about Jamaica Plain, honestly, is we got a Captain Al Andres who was born in the neighborhood, Latino captain there. He's really made a difference. I think the crime rate in Jamaica Plain is down about 15%. You know, with that being said, we talked about a strategy up there. We've increased the visibility up there. We have more marked units up there overnight on Walnut, Walmart, all those streets. So Al Andres, who's the captain there, the community raved about him, and I think they were very happy with our response to those shootings, but we have increased visibility up there. We're well aware of the problems up there, and hopefully, you know, we'll be all over that, and we won't continue to see. We had two shootings in that area over the course of the last 4 weeks, but I think we're on it, and Captain Andres is all over it.
Tom, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
We're talking with Boston Police Commissioner Bill Evans. Commissioner, there's been a lot of talk lately about the over-militarization of police, you know, post 9/11, getting all of these military vehicles. And I'll never forget in the Watertown shootout with the Tsarnaev brothers, and you were on the scene there. The pictures afterwards of police officers, not necessarily from Boston, but from surrounding communities, like there were some Boston guys there too, and these things look like tanks, right, and these guys in these helmets. I didn't know the cops even had all this, right, stuff. The criticism is that it makes that police are overusing it and scaring the citizenry in some of these situations half to death. What do you think about this?
Well, we have the capability, if we have what we call code 99, a tactical situation, to bring out what they call the beer cat. That's like the armored vehicle.
Yes.
But that's kept under wraps here in the city, and all our gear is. And that's sort of my philosophy. When I come on board as the commissioner, the first thing me and Mayor Walsh did was KO the whole idea of patrol rifles in the vehicles.
That's right.
And I think that sort of goes to our philosophy. I mean, we're all about community policing. I don't want our officers walking around to house calls carrying rifles if they need be. So I agree with you. You've seen the marathon this year. I made it clear that none of that stuff would be seen. I wanted that marathon to be very much like April 15th of the tragedy, where, you know, people aren't intimidated by seeing that. And honestly, I was out on Watertown that day when we were searching for the second brother. And it was frightening for me, too, to see the tanks rolling around and everything else. And the people of Watertown were great, but it's very intimidating. And I can understand why people are upset. But in a city policing, I agree, we have to tone it down. You know, I think we get the tools that we need. And, you know, what happened in Ferguson, you know, again, I don't want a Monday morning quarterback, but that was alarming to a lot of people. But you've seen the way we dealt with Occupy.
Yep.
You've seen the way we've dealt with sports events. We don't show up anymore with the sticks and the helmets. That's all put away, and we deal with talking to people without any show of force. If you're going to come looking for a fight, you're going to get a fight. And so we've really changed our philosophy on anything we do to come in soft, and if need be, go back and get the equipment and then come in if we're threatened with any type of force.
You know, you mentioned the marathon. You're a big-time marathoner. How has your life changed since – you've only been doing this since January. It seems like you've been there for – well, you have been in the police force forever.
Right.
How's your everyday life changed, Commissioner?
Well, you know, I'm still – you know, I was out at 4:45 this morning, and I still – that's the most important thing in my life besides my wife and three kids, of course.
Why, to clear
my
your
wife
head?
Will kill me if I don't say that.
You made it clear. Okay, fine. Why, to clear your head? What's
Yeah, it clears my head. And I say to people, it's more mental than it is physical. Mm-hmm. If I get that running, I feel there's nothing I can't accomplish that day. But honestly, the hardest part for me, Jim and Marjorie, is, you know, I don't sleep as great anymore. You know, I lie there at 11 o'clock and I'm like, thank God no one's gotten shot. 12 o'clock. If I can make it till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when it's almost time to get up.
Is that really so?
Yeah, I'm really relieved because, you know, that's the stuff that bothers me. I take it personal. You know, we had a young individual shot last night right before the Patriots game started on Dudley Street. And, you know, I was on the phone for the next 2 or 3 hours, and then I go to bed with one eye open in that we don't have anyone else shot. So, you know, I've found a lot more responsibility, and, you know, the safety of the city is in my hands. And, you know, the thing that bothers me the most is someone getting shot on a nightly basis. But the good news is, you know, violent crime is down 9% from where we were last year at this time. We're down 37 shootings. So knock on wood, the robberies are down. You know, the crime rate has improved here in the city, but That's the big thing. I don't sleep as great because, you know, I'm on edge about anyone ever getting shot, to tell you.
So we know we will have reached the promised land when you call us and tell us you actually slept through the night. Is that the goal?
Yeah.
That's the voice of Commissioner William Evans. He's obviously the commissioner of the Boston Police since January. Mike, you're on a cell phone and you're on with the commissioner. Hey, Mike.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey.
I grew up in Rosendale, but I live in the South Shore now, and I commute to work every day. It is like, you come up off the highway, and there's more panhandlers than I've ever seen before in my, you know, growing up in the city. And I'm guessing it's part of the heroin epidemic. And is there any reason for, or any way you guys can curtail that? Or,
oh, Mike, the squeegees. Have you seen the squeegee guys on Melnia Cass Boulevard? I've seen a lot of them.
No, I come up Southampton the other side. But
okay.
Every day they're up there with their signs. Well, they're like zombies, and I feel bad. And people are just giving money. I don't believe it, you know.
Well, how about it, Commissioner?
I agree with you. You know, I live in South Boston, and going over Andrew Square and heading to the Boston Medical Center.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in that area. We have multiple methadone clinics and drug substance help clinics on Topeka Street over by the Boston Medical Center, and they're all out. And I agree with you. And unfortunately, they're all clustered in that area. And a lot of them, I agree with you. Some of them, and I hate to say it, they are like walking zombies out there. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, with Mayor Walsh, who's been great on substance abuse, that we can get a lot more services for these kids to get them off the street. But, you know, I see the panhandles. It troubles me. I was talking to someone this morning, and I said, you know, it's tough to come off Molina Cass at Mass Ave and between the drug induced people there and the panhandles. But Captain Ivins has been doing his best at trying to clear up that intersection where the squeegee
what
people
can
are.
You do? What can you do? Do they have a right to be there?
Well, you know, there's a city ordinance technically that was just passed that if we warn them about being out in the street and they refuse to move, we can lock them up. But most of the time, they do move when we ask them to. The problem is when we leave, they all come back. Yeah. But, you know, it is a problem. And obviously, you know, we're working hard on the heroin and overdoses. And unfortunately, I think in that particular area, I think having all those drug clinics down there, methadone clinics, is what's driving all the panhandles in that area.
You know,
area.
You often wonder about the people that are selling flowers out there, you know, and they're kind of a sad-looking bunch of carnations. I mean, you wonder, who buys these flowers? These guys are out there all day long selling the flowers.
Probably someone desperate who forgot about their wife's birthday on the way home.
I guess.
A little fixation on the part of the commissioner. Commissioner, a couple of major cities in the country, places like Miami Beach, Los Angeles is considering it, putting not only cameras on dashboards, these dash cams, but putting cameras on the cops themselves. Is that something you're contemplating? And if you are, why? And if you're not, why?
Well, Jim, we've had some discussions on it. Obviously, you know, it's something we'd have to, you know, we have a strong union here. It's something we'd have to deal with the unions. But I know a lot of departments are doing it. I know Worcester's on a trial basis. I know NYPD, you know, and I've sort of discussed it with the ACLU.
How do you feel about it?
Well, you know what? I don't see us having a problem right now, Jim, that we have to go to that. I think our officers do a great job out there. I think we have a very transparent IAD process. I think there's a lot of cameras out there on buildings that have our officers on best behavior, believe it or not. There's a lot of cell phones out there. So I think there's enough cameras out there that keep our officers honest. But honestly, I have a lot of confidence in what they do. That being said, if the tide swings that way, obviously I'm not against it. I have nothing to hide. But you know, there's issues that come with it that nobody discusses. There's the whole idea of when you turn them on, when you don't turn them off. If you go into someone's private residence, you know, and you have a camera, I mean, are we going to be able to film inside someone's private residence? And, you know, so how long can you keep that video footage? The cost? There's, you know, it's easy to say you're going to go to them, but there's a lot of technicalities that you have to work out that you're going to be invading people's privacy all the time when you go behind their closed doors and you got a body camera rolling.
Okay, we only have a minute left. Nine months on the job? You probably know how many days
well,
it actually is.
Almost 11, Jim.
Oh,
because I did 2 months with Mayor Menino.
Oh, you did? Okay. So what's the best and the worst of the first year on the job?
Well, I think the best is, you know, the work we did on the Boston Marathon, being a big marathoner, and to see the city come back resilient, stronger than ever,
yeah,
and see the reaction of people. That was probably the proudest day I had as a police commissioner. I'm also very proud of the work we do day in and day out. My officers have gotten 896 guns off the street this year. And, you know, last year we only had about 600. So they do tremendous work day in and day out.
Some through buyback and some through about, confiscation.
Yeah, most of them, I'd say about 500 or more crime guns that they literally take off kids' hands. And the bad part of my job is seeing the 9-year-old kid killed on Morton Street, or Don Jaffier killed at the Caribbean Festival. You know, those ones hit hard because you can really relate to that young kid and that young lady who are out there innocent, doing the right thing, and caught in the vicious cycle of this gang violence that has, you know, no meaning and really destroys the structure of the whole city.
Commissioner Evans, we really appreciate your time. The commissioner will be with us every month. And by the way, people are on the phone who didn't get through. I'm assuming if we get numbers that your office will be in touch with them, correct? Commissioner, it's great to see you. Thanks so much for doing
this.
Thanks
for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much for being here. Commissioner, as Jim said, the commissioner is going to be with us every month, and we're really psyched about that. Up next, as Albert Einstein said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, Margot Howard has married 4 times, and she must be sent insane because she's gotten different results from every marriage. Her life as a serial monogamist is the subject of her new book. That's next on 89.7 WGBH, Boston Public Radio, the local NPR station in Boston.